Are you ready for this?
Oh dear.
Yeah, I'll wait for this.
All right. Here we go.
Speaking of which, Bring It On is going to be on Netflix coming May 1st. Boom.
And you want to know what's going away May 2nd? Scrubs.
Fuck. That has been on Netflix streaming since Netflix streaming was a fucking thing.
It's true.
Sweet. It's a mainstay. True. They can't take it from me.
Before we get into that, maybe we should say that we're best threesome ever.
Oh, I suppose.
Hey. I'm Nick.
Best threesome ever, episode 11. That's Nick.
It's what I just said.
I know. I don't care.
Okay.
I'm Rob.
I'm Kevin.
Yay.
It just happened.
I don't know.
Every episode, you seem to get quieter and quieter.
Yeah.
Because on the intro, you two get weirder and weirder.
It's our thing. It's what we do. Brought to you in part by Mind's Eye Comics and Egan.
I went to Mind's Eye Comics yesterday.
Did you? What did you think of it?
Well, I've been there before, actually. I didn't realize I'd been there before.
Okay.
But, yeah, actually, I really like the shop. It's a little shop. It's not huge.
No.
But for what they do and the size of the store, they get a lot of volume for what they have. So
right. And recently voted top five best suburban comic book shops by City Pages.
Awesome.
City Pages, in case you don't live in Minnesota, is a local
alt magazine.
Yeah, alternative type magazine, but very, very good writing in it.
Yeah.
However, chances are, if you don't live in Minnesota, you have still heard the recent news of Minnesota's Lord and Savior Prince has been taken from us.
Lord and Savior? I don't know if I'd go that far, but certainly...
He's definitely one of the biggest things to ever come out of the States.
And save
maybe Bob Dylan, but fuck Bob Dylan.
Bob Dylan, he didn't stay.
Right.
But that's usually the answer I give when people say that.
And I think what for me kind of... I'm not like a huge, huge Prince fan, but I certainly enjoy his music. I certainly like it. You know, I own Purple Rain as a cassette tape.
You're old.
Fuck up.
You're old when the hipster kids these days are collecting what you bought as a necessity.
Yeah, right. Pretty
hipster
much.
Kids are collecting cassettes now, and
they
it's
are.
Just like
they are. Good luck trying to find them.
They need
we burned them all
they
in the
stop.
We burned them all in 2000. But what kind of really like what really hit was the fact that when the news actually officially broke that he had died that night, like across the United States, and I maybe even think across the world, that everything that could turn their lights purple did. City Hall buildings, Ferris wheels, bridges,
and it was huge.
Didn't they light the Eiffel Tower purple?
I think they did.
Or the Louvre. One of the two.
They might have.
That's awesome.
I just remember seeing there was a collection. One of the local news stations here had a collection of photos of, you know, like LA City Hall and.
Like tributes around the world.
Right. Yeah. And apparently the New York one, the Empire State Building, was a fake. Apparently they can't just change the colors like that. But
no. Well,
either way.
Here in Minneapolis, Target went purple.
Mm-hmm.
The IDS tower went purple.
Mm-hmm.
All of First Avenue, not just the nightclub, but I mean the actual street. Anything that had lights on it went purple for the weekend.
The 35
not
Bridge.
That you could get there.
Yeah.
We kind of flooded it.
And that, too, is that they, you know, impromptu party, block party,
yeah,
and all of a sudden it was hundreds of people. Then it was thousands of people.
Oh, yeah, and I was actually there, and I'll give you the video later, Nick, so you
sure.
can post
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah.
But I was there, and I took a video, and it was just what you don't actually see in the video that I have is that it started to sprinkle just a little bit.
But you started to sprinkle just a little bit
from his eyeballs.
I did. No, no. From
crying.
Everywhere. Mostly. But it was because, you know,
gross.
It started to sprinkle just a little bit. And sure enough, those opening chords of Purple Rain come on.
Right.
Just as it
right.
starts to rain a little. And it's like, oh, that's perfect. And you've got 5,000 people crowding 7th Street. The police have blocked the street off at this point. It's turned into its own little block party.
And nobody cares that there's that many people on the street.
No. No one cared. Like, everyone who was there, everyone in the crowd, there was no, you know, there was some pushing to get to the front, but it was more of a, here, let me help you. Here, just have...
Not one single issue.
No, not a single issue. Everyone was just full of love and hugs and just everyone was there to be in the presence of what they felt was, you know, just a historic moment. And Purple Rain came on, and they cut the sound during the chorus, and you hear 5,000 people
right.
just all on the verge of tears singing Purple Rain, and it was...
Absolutely.
It was really one of the most moving things I've seen.
And there, how many tributes have you seen online for like, you know, Bruce Springsteen and Adam Levine and Corey Taylor? And
Corey Taylor, who drew the short straw and had to play First Avenue the night Prince died.
Well, it's not like he drew the... I mean, he was just happened to be there.
No, I know. It's just...
Also, poor Amy Schumer.
Oh, yeah. She had to,
who was also performing that night.
Yeah, she was just down the street. But
I think Mumford & Sons was playing that night.
They were, but they were in St. Paul. But, I mean, Prince put the club, First Avenue, on the map. Corey Taylor, the frontman for Slipknot, was scheduled to perform the night Prince passed away. And Corey Taylor is just so far from what Prince did that it was it was just too bad for this guy to have to play in the club that Prince made famous in the city he was born in on the night he died. And sure enough, he goes out and he pulls out his acoustic guitar and he plays a heartbreaking rendition.
Just hauntingly beautiful.
Oh, yeah. Good Lord. Just gorgeous version of Purple Rain. And he's just doused in purple light. And you guys didn't see the end of the video, but well, unless you watched it somewhere else, but... at the end of the video, he gets a single spotlight on him, and he as the artist, like, the light guy put the spotlight on him as the song ended, so it was just a single spotlight just on Corey Taylor, and he stepped out and put his hand through the light and pointed up. Like, he purposely stepped out of the light. Mm. And it's just, it's one of those really just beautiful moments. He was like, No, that wasn't for me.
Oh, absolutely. And I think that, I mean, what do you do? I mean, you go, well, gotta rock it, and he did, and I'm sure that...
I heard the rest of the show was good, but... Yeah, meanwhile, while he's playing his show, outside, there is a mob amassing. 5,000 people. One of the local radio stations, The Current, brought in a truck bed... with some speakers and a stage on and a microphone, and they just blasted Prince tunes to the street as 5,000 fans just stood in the street. You know, they flew in a couple artists, and a couple artists sang some songs, but nothing big. It was mostly like Minnesota people. Lizzo came out and sang a version of, I think, Yikes. Let's Go Crazy, and she also did a rendition of Purple Rain. A
couple of big-time local DJs were also... doing a lot of those Tony big Fly. Parties. No, I mean like actual like DJs.
Yeah.
Well,
I don't mean like radio people who talk on the radio and then push iTunes. I'm talking
not,
about people.
I'm
who
sorry, not Tony Fly. That's a lie. Who he's on?
Dave Ryan.
On the Current?
No, he's on 105.1.
That's a station.
I forget what station he's on, but long and the short of it was he's an old school radio, old school KDWB radio DJ. And knew Prince really, really well, and like he was like good friends with him. And I just remember the day that he died. Like I remember just hearing him on whatever station he's on, and he was just talking and you know just talking about Prince, and it was great. So.
Well, yeah, and First Avenue they opened their doors after all of the concerts they did this weekend because they had Corey Taylor on Thursday, and then Bob Mould, who's another local hero, on Friday and Saturday, and. After their shows, they opened the club up to any and all who wanted to come to First Avenue. It was an 18-plus free cover show, and they just did three nights of an all-night dance party until 7 a.m. of Prince tunes.
Right.
And I work in downtown, and so last night at about 3 o'clock in the morning, there is a line... to get into First Avenue, and
oh, I bet
if you know the geography of the area, it's First Avenue, 7th Street, 8th Street, and Hennepin. The lines stretched all the way around the block to the point that there was about 5 feet between the lines at the end. Jesus. It was, I mean, that sounds ridiculous, but at the same time, there's a part of me that just goes, that is how much loyalty this guy got from his home state.
And what impresses me even more is that in like the videos that you see from the streets and stuff like that, and all the I was at I was working a show last night, nothing to do with Prince. It was a very, very diverse crowd, and they played a very, very short portion of Purple Rain. Had nothing to do with their show, but they snuck it in, and the crowd went crazy. And the thing that impresses me the most is that the crowds are so diverse, between yeah. age and race and gender. It doesn't matter who it is, but you see people who are kids, you see adults, you see older people. I would say a large majority of the crowd that was there last night was probably well into their 60s, 70s.
Sure.
Still cheering for Prince. Still understood, at least whether or not they listened to his music or not, still understood the impact that he had on the music community. I mean, it was just, and that, I think that speaks of Prince himself, you know, it just, and what his music does and how it just transcends so many different things, and how he, regardless, there's, his music speaks to everybody, and you can't just sit there and go, God, I just fucking hate Prince. I've never heard somebody just say, God, I fucking hate Prince. Like, right. I mean, they'll be like, not really a fan, but, you know,
yeah, I don't mind his music. I've heard some people say, you know, his songs are crap, and then they go, but Purple Rain.
Right.
And they go, okay, Purple Rain, sure.
Which, another thing that speaks of Prince's talent and what he is, but Purple Rain, the song that everybody knows, the version that everybody knows on the radio, was recorded, I believe, at First Ave.
Live.
And it was just like, he just said before the show, it was just like, I need somebody to record something. And I want to record this song tonight.
He was recording it for the movie Purple Rain, actually.
No, he was recording it just to record it.
Oh, was he?
Yes. Because he wanted, I think he did this before Purple Rain came out.
I'm going to fact check you on that. I don't know.
But I don't know. But I know that he recorded it, and it was just the version that you hear is it's a cut version of the live version. But
it is a cut version.
But
of the live.
Play a song so perfectly and know that, and just to know that, yep, tonight's the night we're going to record it, and then it's not a single missed note.
See, and I don't know anyone who can't name. I don't even want to say at least one. I want to say at least three Prince songs.
Right.
Like everyone.
Right?
Yeah.
That's very true. Absolutely.
I discovered earlier this week when I was actually a guest on a different podcast, and I discovered earlier this week that they were all talking about this one song of Prince, and I realized that I have never heard it. Pussy Control. I have never heard Pussy
Control. Are you seriously?
Seriously. I've never heard Pussy Control.
I found a new love in his kids song that he did for, I think it was Sesame Street, really? Starfish and Coffee.
Oh, right. Yeah.
They were playing that all the time on like on The Current and like KS95 and stuff. And like I had never heard it before, and I love it.
And let's not forget, probably one of the first large icons to do a movie soundtrack for a nerdy thing. Batman. He did.
Which I have to admit, I hated.
You hated?
Oh, yeah, no, it's not a good soundtrack.
It's not, because as much as I like Prince, it's just not fitting to Batman. That entire
absolutely not
that
fitting
entire
to Batman.
Scene of Joker.
Oh,
and his
absolutely.
Henchman painting over paintings. Right. The Prince song. I fast forward through it.
No,
I watched the movie.
And
anymore,
I'm not saying that the music fits the movie. It absolutely does not. I agree with you 100%. But I at least think the songs are good.
So, Bat Dance.
Awful.
So, I did see something recently that that described what the plot line of Prince's soundtrack to Batman would be versus the movie. Oh my God, it's insane. It would essentially be that Batman has precog abilities and is trying to get rid of a drug called Lemon Crush. Yeah.
What?
Yeah. Also, his arch nemesis isn't Joker, it's Party Man.
Played by Prince?
Probably played by Prince, yeah.
I'm confused.
I think it's, I don't know, it's on IO9. It's an article on IO9, and if you read through it, it just describes the whole album and what Prince wrote.
For the soundtrack.
And the album works as its own album. But it also works as an alternate plot line to a Batman film that doesn't exist. It's terrifying and fascinating, and Prince's mind is weird. I think we're good on Prince.
Yeah, it's Prince.
It's Prince.
So a couple new trailers, though.
Okay, yeah. What do you got?
So we have the new trailer for Doctor Strange.
Yeah.
And people are bitching about Tilda Swinton.
Eh. I mean, yes, I get it, and I understand it. I don't think that's the problem, but...
What do you think is the problem?
I don't want to see a Marvel Inception.
I don't think that's what it is. I think everything we've seen that has looked kind of Inception-y has just been sort of his training. I think that's going to be a very small portion of it, and they're trying to not give too much away.
Okay.
That's my takeaway, anyway.
Yeah. And I'll admit, when I first saw the trailer, Kevin and I came to blows a little on this, because he finds me so contrarian on this stuff, and I understand. My mood has shifted a little to, I'm cautious. I don't like what I see in the trailer, but give me another one, and I will rethink my opinion. That is where I am right now. But as far as Tilda Swinton, I mean, yes, they're right. They should have found an Asian actor or actress. But it's been cast. It sucks.
It's like the Ghost in the Shell issue.
Oh, man.
Right? Which I'm probably not going to see it anyway. Not because they have a white person playing a Japanese person, but because I just don't think it sounds very good. I was never a huge fan of the show. I like the theme song of the show. I love the theme song, but the show itself I was never a huge fan of.
Me neither.
It's one of the few mangas I've read.
I haven't read it.
Yeah.
But it's kind of the Dragon Ball problem all over again. Though with Dragon Ball, one could argue that Goku was from another planet and he can be whatever race he wants. which is the same argument people have been making for Rita Repulsa in the new Power Rangers movie. That she has been cast by Elizabeth Banks. We'll be playing her.
But yeah, Elizabeth Banks as Rita Repulsa. I like it, and I mean, looking at my phone, obviously we found a picture here where she looks more like Divatox from Turbo, a Power Rangers movie, than she does the original Rita.
But I don't mind. I thought the original Rita and hell, even Divatox and all the monsters are very lame looking, so they obviously had to update it to make it look a little more cool. Like they actually have a budget.
Didn't the original Power Rangers, didn't they like steal off the Japanese version of?
Well, they basically took clips from a Japanese show that wasn't called Power Rangers.
Yeah, right. Like,
it's called Super Sentai.
I was getting to that, but I'm very impressed with you right now.
I thought you were gonna like bounce around the name. I thought you were gonna bounce around the name, and it was gonna bother me.
No. Wow.
It sounded like you were like.
I take my Power Rangers very seriously. Awesome. So, but anyway, they took these shots, and what they did is all of the action scenes you see are shots from the show, and then you can even tell the difference between the American Power Rangers when they're in their suits to when they cut to the Japanese clips. Because the Japanese clips have a little bit of a shininess to it.
Mm-hmm. And
everything sort of glistens in kind of a weird way.
But there's also sort of a graininess to the footage itself.
Mm-hmm. It's true.
And all of a sudden, Kimberly no longer has boobs.
No, all of a sudden, Trini no longer has boobs. The Yellow Ranger in the Japanese version was a man.
Right.
And that's why he doesn't have a skirt.
That's right.
Yeah. But Kimberly does. Yeah. Which is super stupid. Men can't be in yellow, that's a girl's color. Plus, there's not enough girls. So.
Well, I mean, that's accurate.
I mean, not that. And no offense to the late actor who played Trini, but she wasn't exactly gifted in the breast department anyway, so you couldn't really tell too much.
Yeah. Tweet Ryan.
Yeah.
Last movie was The Crow 2.
Oh.
Crow 2.
You know.
Oh.
Right,
it's like Raul Julia going out on Street Fighter.
Get paycheck for him, you know.
Yeah,
he made so many other good movies.
I know.
But her, I
wait. Have we talked about this already?
We did. We talked about it. Like two podcasts.
I do
ago.
Too many podcasts. I don't remember where I talked about shit. Yeah.
But you were saying you're going to go to the comic book.
Yes,
convention.
I do want to go to the Minneapolis Comic Con. Just
Wizard
on
Con,
Saturday,
the Wizard Con one.
Yes,
because there are two in Minnesota.
Yeah, there's WizardCon, and then there's the Good
Midwest
Convergence.
I was going to say the Midwest.
No, I know.
WizardCon is called Minneapolis Comic Con, and then there's Convergence.
Yeah, but no, there's also
the Midwest one.
Comic Book Association.
Yeah,
Comic-Con.
That's different.
Spring Con and Fall Con.
Those are also way different. Those are small, very subdued. They're at the state fairgrounds. This one is a very Comic-Con is a very big convention. So.
And a very corporate one.
Yes, which is annoying, which is why I don't go to the whole thing. I just want to meet Jason David Frank.
I mean, that's fair.
And have him sign my Saba.
And
not to be confused with my penis.
I don't call it Saba.
Surprisingly, I don't call my penis Saba. It's the Sundance Kid. Yes, my balls are Butch and Cassidy.
They're like Jessica Negri naming her boobs Barnes & Noble. The true story, she really does name her boobs Barnes & Noble.
That's amazing. See, I have never named my penis, but I have had girlfriends call it Stormageddon. You can guess which one.
But that's the name of a baby on Doctor Who, so I guess is that a correlation? I mean,
yeah, that's
weird and...
Bum, 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 bum.
I've never had anybody, nor have I ever had a nickname for my penis. I'm sorry. I'm weird.
Get one.
No.
Right?
Why?
Because it's fun. I mean,
can I call it BB? Can I call it BB-8?
Yes.
You sure can.
I wasn't sure how to feel about that, but yes.
Not sure how I feel about it either.
What else we got?
Doctor Strange. So other movies, kind of moving into that whole nostalgic like reboot kind of. How do we feel? Yeah. How do we feel about that? I mean,
I like the idea of the Power Rangers reboot. So long as we get something closer to Avi Shankar and less Haim Saban. That's mostly what I want, because the audience has grown up. Okay,
that right. Saban is a world class piece of shit.
I've heard that, but that's besides the point. Like, I'm talking more about the style of the show versus
that too. Yeah. Yeah. This is a person, as a producer, as an artist. He sucks.
Okay. I loved the original show, but I, as an adult now, can't enjoy it the same
way. Rob just got very irritated at me for tearing a person apart when we spent the entire last podcast doing that about Zack Snyder. So I'm going to try not to get super irritated about his hypocrisy right now.
No, you're right. And I don't, but the thing is, I don't know those stories about Haim Saban, and I wish I did.
The guy who played Billy, David Yost.
Oh, no, you're right. I'm sorry. You're right. It was not a look of irritation. It was one of confusion.
Unacceptable.
And I'm sorry.
How the Blue Ranger was no, on you're, show you're for being gay. So.
Absolutely right. Whether that was
and like
crew people, directors, editors, the respect starts from the top down.
Yeah, and the actors made nothing for the merchandising. Like no. The Red Ranger lived out of a car. Yeah. And he was on the most popular TV show like on the planet.
Yeah.
Well, they might have been part of the contract to sell their likeness rights or something and not get anything.
Probably.
I mean,
you're a young actor, you want a job, you're going to take it.
Exactly. Yeah. Get your face out there. But on the other hand, look
on
at...
On the bright side, he got ripped as fuck after that.
Yeah, he did. And I was going to say, look at... what's his name? I can't think of his name. The Green Ranger.
Jason David Frank. Who has turned a successful second career
exactly.
in an MMA fighter and a personality.
Yeah, exactly. And he loves it. And circuit. It's and there's nothing wrong with it. And I think he, you know, good for him for doing that.
He loves his fans, and that's absolutely. Really an admirable thing about him.
Absolutely. And I think that's what you can respect about him, unlike other people that do movies like this, and they just go... fuck the fans.
No. Nick, go ahead and do the sound again. What was that? Alright, Kevin, do your impression of his sound again. I still like Kevin's better.
So, I want to know what the kid from Power Rangers Turbo is up to, because I'm guessing it's cocaine and hookers.
the little one?
Yeah.
The
kid who, like, when he morphed, like, miraculously became taller.
Yeah.
Like, even in the movie, when they was all shot here, he still became an adult when he morphed.
Yeah,
it's super weird.
It's because they had to use the footage. But.
I'm going to have the unpopular saying here, but I never really got into Power Rangers. I tried, didn't like it.
Well, you were maybe just a bit too old when it first came out. I was in, like, fifth grade, so it was, like...
I was, like,
it was,
middle schoolish.
Yeah, but you were... But aren't you like 4 years older than me? You would have been on the cusp of high school, and so I was like the target audience, a white 10-year-old.
And I was just
I have to look up when
I was just a smidge younger than that. So like I remember watching the original show, but I remember watching Turbo in Space more.
I tried watching the original. I watched it because
it does not hold up.
Which one?
Any of them?
No, absolutely not.
Although Space comes pretty close.
Turbo is, I had actually never watched Turbo. I was kind of against it, and I finally did probably just a couple of months ago, and it was the worst thing I've ever experienced in my life. I actually went back and watched the original Power Rangers movie, and I still kind of liked it.
So, really?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I don't think it holds up, though.
So the original Power Rangers came out in 93, so I would have been in, like, 8th grade, 9th grade. So, yeah, just on the... And I was in, and the reason why I started watching it was because I was like, oh, like a show with martial arts, and I was in martial arts at the time, and I'm like, oh, I'll try to give it a shot, and then,
yeah,
and then I was a big fan. That was my, that was also the time when I was a huge fan of, like, when anime was starting to really come around.
Oh, sure.
I was making their huge US debut and became popular. I was a big fan of Ultraman growing up. Looked kind of Ultraman-esque.
Oh, my God.
Yes, the original Ultraman. Loved that show. Saturday morning, baby. Ugh.
I love that you just made that reference.
Ultraman.
What was, you know, kind of... that you just made that reference.
Well, you know, I try. Japanese shows turned American, you know, like Godzilla. Yeah. And
to be fair, also, I mean, I don't know why I just thought of this, but officially everyone on the show is at least 10 years out of high school. So.
Like, we haven't noticed that before.
I know, but no, it's true now. Like, I didn't realize it until just now. But.
And, you know, and that comes with other reboots. Like, they rebooted Thundercats a while ago.
They did, and who is... The wow! Kid.
That's Blake Foster.
Wow, look at that. Is he tatted there? Is that
what is he doing these days?
The circuit.
Good for him, though. Good for him. He turned out okay. Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's super tatted up. Good for him. I wonder what he does other than the circuit, though. Like,
I want to make a guess. Is he got a Wikipedia? If he's got a Wikipedia page, which
it didn't have much. Oh. I checked. It didn't really have much.
I was hoping he'd be like musician, like. Just,
right, because they all are.
Oh, by the way, so last episode we talked about like some of our favorite shows, and we got the Hidden Temple shirts, and there is, I found in researching that, and I forgot to mention in the last podcast, in researching trying to get the shirt, somehow I came across a website where this guy like totally he doesn't really stock them, but he finds all of the old people that were on like Guts and says what they're doing now, and some of them are pretty fucking hilarious. And by the way, AJ from Backstreet Boys. Yes. He was a contestant on Guts.
Oh, neat.
Yes. And the reason how he found them is because on that TV show, they put their first and last name of those kids. And you Google search anybody and you can figure it out.
Find them. Sure.
So I'm checking his Twitter and it's nothing.
This is Blake Foster.
Yeah. And it's nothing but like doing the circuit and just being in love with his fans and Blue Crew and
didn't even hear about him.
He has like 12,000 followers. He seems really well adjusted and wow, I'm kind of impressed. But I'm impressed. Yeah.
But you don't even hear about him on the tour, the circuits like you do, like the David James. I forget his name. Sorry,
Jason David Frank.
Thank
wow.
you.
Wow. Right.
I wasn't
James David Fabric.
David something. Tommy Panasonic. I don't know what. What do you want from me?
Futz Bumwaller. Engelbert Humperdinck.
Witness?
God damn it. Okay, so moving on.
I did want to say one other thing about like child. Sorry. I didn't mean to. I love you, Kevin.
Continue.
Really quick about like those child actors that grow up. So the two kids who played the twins, Alex and Nikki, on Full House.
Yes.
And they came back for the first episode of Fuller House. Mm. So when I was reading through some of those articles, I found what they're doing now.
Musician?
No, they live in their hometown, and they're firefighters.
Oh.
And they're hunky as hell.
Yeah, they are.
God, they're good looking.
Because they're firefighters, you know.
They are firefighters, to be fair. Or at least one of them is a firefighter. I don't know if the other one is. I don't remember. But yeah, no. I wanted to mention that because you had mentioned that Blake Foster is doing all the circuit work, and I was like, oh wait, I remembered this. So
would it be weird that if I had a twin and we were firefighters, that every time I went to go fight a fire, I'd have to
fire
be like,
at a fight?
Yes.
Anyways,
I'd have to go. Wonder Twin powers activate. Would that be weird? Your silence says yes. yes, it would.
No, hang on. It's conditional. Is one of you manning the hose?
Maybe. I don't know.
Okay, so maybe.
I don't know.
Because
these very quick thoughts that pass through my mind that I should just learn to ignore them and never say them. But I don't. I just speak to them.
There's a microphone in front of you, so you let it out.
So other doctors, since we were talking about Doctor Strange an hour and a half ago. there is a new companion for the new season of Doctor Who, and
yes!
she is wonderful and sassy and asks all of the right questions
right?
that people have been asking since the dawn of time, and people on the show just sort of accept.
Yeah.
Why do they say exterminate? Wouldn't it be faster to just say kill?
what is the name of the actress?
Pearl Mackey. Something like that.
I was absolutely going to say Pearl Bailey, and I know that's not right. That's from Family Guy. I'm sorry. Pearl Mackey, you're right.
Yes, yeah. Pearl Mackey.
Pearl Mackey, and
character's name is Bill.
Bill.
I love it.
Bill.
I love it.
I just, Bill.
Well, the first new series companion was played by an actress named Billy, so why not?
And I think played a character named Rose.
I know, but the actress's name was Billy. So I'm almost wondering if that's sort of an homage to her.
Is it? Well, I suppose because it's season 10, or series 10. So I've seen a little bit of backlash on this one. A little bit. It's more along the lines of, isn't the companion supposed to be attractive? And I just kind of go, cue the reasons why. Not white. Like, it's just, I've seen a little bit of backlash of like, you know, wow, she's not very pretty.
She is a little unconventional looking. But that's, but that's fine. Who cares? So is the current Doctor. I'm sorry, but Donna was not attractive.
No.
And I don't think Rose is very attractive. She has a weird mouth thing that drives me insane. Martha was pretty.
Yeah, I knew you were going to say it.
Amy was pretty.
Yeah.
Clara was pretty.
What's the actress's name?
Pearl Mackey. She's a singer and actress.
I'm trying to figure out.
She does not have a lot of credits.
She's pithy, and she's sarcastic, and she asks a lot of goofy questions, and I already dig her very much.
Yeah, and the Pearl BBC Mackey. Released like
and
a
I saw,
special
but
trailer.
I saw a picture of her with
wow,
her with her hair kind of poofy and up, and she looked
super
adorable.
That's her IMDb picture, and. She doesn't like. She really doesn't have anything. Like in IMDb, she's not in anything.
She has very few credits. But yeah. So the BBC released a special teaser trailer to announce the addition of Pearl Mackey to the cast, and it's probably not going to be in any episode. It's that is adorable.
Like, yeah.
Like, she looks cute. So, yeah. I don't know. People need to calm the fuck down.
Yeah.
And since when did a companion's looks have anything to do with anything?
Right. From what we get from, the style of the character here, obviously, first of all, I don't think this character was written for Pearl Mackey. She just embodies the character in the absolute right way. And I think we need a... No offense to Clara, but I think we need a smart companion again.
Which is sad because she started out so smart.
She did.
Like when she was in the Victorian episode
right.
and when she was the Dalek.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, when all of her personalities came back together again, she was kind of a nard.
She was kind of stupid. Then again, Amy, not that smart. She had Rory as a crutch, though. So that was helpful. I don't feel like we've had a good smart companion since Donna. Maybe Martha before that.
I've loved Martha. Martha's one of my favorites, and people shit on her.
I know. People do shit on her. And that said, Martha is not my favorite. And oh my, that's Jenna Coleman's boobs.
It sure is.
Good gravy.
You're
you just distracted with boobs. Something.
I did. That's what I do.
Wow. I'm off track.
I don't have much to say about Doctor Who because, as these two know, I have nothing against Doctor Who. Just not a fan. I've tried to watch it.
And we shun you for it.
Clearly. You shun me for a lot of things, and this just adds to the list.
No. Shun the non-believer. Shun!
Fuck you.
I am. Fuck you.
So are we done with Doctor Who?
Yes,
I think we're done with Doctor
Who. Though we're not getting it until 2017, and that pisses me off. Anyway, we continue.
Okay, it's kind of a... Well, I guess we can continue on with like the...
British
things and the... Yeah, the new J.K. Rowling's Harry Potter, even though Harry Potter has nothing to do with this movie.
Fantastic Beasts.
So I would not be surprised if Dumbledore or Voldemort were kind of like in the end, just as kind of a connection, and because it does take place in the past when they both have been very young.
Right, yeah. And that's kind of what I was going to say. It looks interesting. It takes place in America, of all places, in the 20s and 30s, I believe.
I think it's like the 40s.
Maybe, yeah.
Somewhere in that era between World War II and the Roaring Twenties.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of hard because, you know, the Wizarding World kind of wears a little more classy, old school clothes.
Yeah, they do.
No, they go to like old New York. Yeah, and it's
like comes in New York,
kind of the sepia tone, and it's beautiful.
Right,
and there's
looks great.
Wizard duels all over the place,
and that's what I'm excited about. Is like
slow mo shooting shit, and like they kind of America it up, but like in a good way.
Yeah, yep.
not in an annoying way.
America it up, but
yeah.
But not in an annoying way.
And that's what I loved about like the progression of the Harry Potter series was that all I wanted to see was just wizards fucking fight. That's all I wanted to see. That's why I love.
You want to see them fucking fight? I get that.
Yeah, yeah.
That kind of what that sounds like, Emma fucking Watson. Fight. But just I wanted to see.
I was going
to
say that girl plays Tonks.
Oh, wait,
the girl's
right.
In Game of Thrones. Yeah, yeah,
yeah,
yeah,
yeah,
yeah,
yeah,
yeah. Yeah. Okay.
What?
Emma Watson and Tonks. You're welcome.
Are we talking about as they appear now? Because can we please throw Luna Lovegood in there too?
Yeah. Right.
Yes. Yeah.
Goodness gracious. And by the way, Rob, wait. Rob, I will give you a lot of credit. That one photos that we talked about with the quote unquote naked Luna Lovegood.
Not Luna Lovegood.
It is not.
That's what we were both telling you.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't give me credit. He also said it.
I thought at first you were on the.
No, I was on the.
We were all sitting in the same
fakest
room.
This is the fake that ever faked.
It's not a fake. It's a real person.
Yes,
but it's not her.
No. But she looks very much like her.
It is
very, very close.
It's very close, but there were certain distinct.
Either way, good enough for me. I don't care.
I'll take it.
I can't get the real thing. I'll take the replacement. I'm fine.
My brain will fill in the blanks.
Pretty much. But yeah, it looks great, and tons and tons of wizarding fights, and
By the way, for me, Luna Lovegood and grown up Ginny Weasley. Also interchangeable.
Right. Actually, my favorite was, and I can't think of her name. Who is the Irish Asian female?
She's
beautiful, and that accent. I'm sorry.
Why couldn't she have been Psylocke?
Right.
Accent is even already there.
Yeah.
Maybe she's.
Wait.
Maybe she's.
Yeah. Not. Come on.
Maybe.
Sam.
Right, and I can't believe we didn't. Although Olivia Munn.
She's pulling it off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she's Asian, so it's acceptable. Baby steps. Baby steps in the Hollywood industry. That is what we've discovered.
Jesus.
And then we were speaking
I don't
of
like it, but I have to deal with
speaking
it.
Speaking of reboots and revisits, the new Magnificent Seven, I think we
Yes.
I loved your description of it. I love your description of it, Kevin.
I never knew I wanted to see Denzel Washington as a cowboy.
First time as a cowboy.
I basically likened it to True Grit meets Training Day, and it's everything I ever wanted.
Right, exactly. And it looks great, and the cast of characters is just.
And Chris Pratt looks like he's going to be fucking wonderful in it.
How many people do you got? Just you and me. I'm in.
Couple of chubby guys.
Yeah. It looks, I don't know, it looks great. And I mean, and I like the original one. I mean, I, you know, saw that as a kid.
I also like that samurai film. Because I'm that asshole.
Yeah. Well, I've seen both the original Magnificent Seven, the cowboy one, and I have seen the samurai one as well, which is just a spectacular
Seven Samurai.
Which is just a spectacular movie.
Well, Kurosawa.
Which is what Magnificent Seven is based off of.
Yeah,
absolutely. They're just Americaned it up.
America did it up.
Yeah, pretty much. Looks
well. Like, they didn't go too hard because John Wayne isn't in Magnificent Seven, but the original. I mean.
Mm-hmm. Right, but still. I mean, it's still a good cowboy movie for not
they
having...
They came as close as they could without John Wayne.
Exactly.
Yep.
But I don't know. Like, it looks great. I think it will be...
It looks good. I want to see another trailer, though, because...
Absolutely.
I'll admit, I didn't... I felt like there was a lot of flashy and not enough substance.
Well, it was kind of a teaser. It's meant to get your attention. Just like the Doctor Strange one. Just like the Rogue One.
Right, but... Oh, the Rogue One teaser I felt like had some substance to it, and I liked that. I just and actually, so did Doctor Strange. I just didn't appreciate the substance. I don't know. I want to see more of a trailer. I want to see more Chris Pratt, and I want to see more Denzel. Because God, I love me some Denzel.
Who doesn't?
That is my,
I was going to go back to
one of my man crushes.
To Doctor Strange. Never really got into Doctor Strange. So I can't,
that Doctor Strange, I kind of feel like a hipster about, because I've actually liked that character a long time.
My friend David is a huge Doctor Strange fan.
I handed Kevin my glasses.
Because he has hipster glasses. All three of us sort of do. I'm just wearing contacts today.
Yeah. I just woke up an hour before we started recording. So, but I think for the preview, it looks interesting. And I was kind of a character I've always wanted to know more about. And I just don't understand. I guess I just don't know what his, like, powers are. So for me, I don't know. I thought the preview looked.
I'm very interested to see how they do it. This is going to be Marvel now admitting that there's magic. When they went there out of their way to make Scarlet Witch non-magical, that it was genetic engineered kind of thing.
They already have. If Daredevil, Daredevil.
Where is their magic in Daredevil?
The hand? Nobu.
I suppose.
Well, no.
Yeah.
Which I think was their baby step into magic.
I think it is sort of a baby step, and I have
a feeling that's why they did what they did with this season.
Yeah.
Is to kind of lead up to Doctor Strange and the acceptance of magic. That's my theory anyway.
Yeah. And I hope that's happens. And
So explain to me, because I don't know. Doctor Strange power is not a mutant power, it's a learned trained power.
He's a magician. He is the Sorcerer Supreme.
Okay.
That is.
Yeah, he and Scarlet Witch
like a Marvel Dumbledore.
In the heyday of comic books have fucked some shit up.
So he's like the Marvel version of a badass Dumbledore.
More like a Marvel version of Harry Dresden.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
With a little bit more oomph.
Okay.
Yeah. And a lot less of the, you know, monkey's paw issue. Assuming you understand what I mean.
Monkey paw. Yes, I do understand the monkey paw
issue.
Did you see the article recently that J.J. Abrams spoke about Rey's parents? And
Yes.
Well, where he said they're not in the next movie, but then he backtracked.
They're not in episode 7.
Oh. And then he backtracked on that.
And kind of said she hasn't been introduced to them yet. So
okay, I thought I had read that he said that they weren't in episode 8.
I thought he said 7 because he's not directing 8.
He just has a producer credit on 8.
Yeah. That's what I said. It was on the Nerdist. That's where I read it. I could be wrong. I thought it was 7. I thought he said 7. But it was – I was kind of happy about that because I think that kind of what we've talked about before, where I don't want Rey to be related to Luke Skywalker, known character.
I don't either, and I don't think she should be. I think she should
have her own story. Yeah,
we've talked about
this. Yeah, we absolutely have.
Episode 2, everyone.
Go back.
Yes, Kevin.
I got nothing.
Yeah. Yeah, the face like you were like.
What is though? Speaking of J.J. Abrams and things he started and has moved away from, there has been, despite it being the 50-year anniversary of Star Trek this year,
absolutely very
little about Star Trek Beyond.
Yeah,
we got the one trailer. It was awful. Simon Pegg says there is another trailer. It hasn't been released yet. He says he liked it and it's a good trailer. But like at the film version of Comic-Con, like it's this big film convention, there was Star Trek Beyond posters all over the place, but nobody at Paramount talked about it. They talked about everything else that was coming up, from, you know, Ghostbusters to Magnificent Seven, but they said absolutely nothing about their baby Star Trek.
Have they said why?
Comes out in like a couple of months.
I was about to say, this comes out in this, it's like it's gonna be a summer blockbuster, and do we know why? Is there a reason why?
No.
They're being very tight-lipped about it. And I know there were some reshoots and they redid some things because people were like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, it's to put out a shitty movie by some asshole who did Fast and the Furious on the 50th anniversary of Star Trek is kind of balls.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They've been very tight-lipped about it, and not in a sneaky, ooh, we want to surprise you kind of way, but in a nerve-wracking kind of way.
Do you think it has something to do with, well, maybe not. I was going to say, talking about like the Gene, like how after Gene Roddenberry died, and I know we've talked about this before, how they pretty much destroyed his Star Trek universe and created their own. Do you think
you mean made it better?
Yeah.
Right. Either way. Right. Yeah, I'm with you. I agree. I'm not disagreeing. They're shaking their head like bobbleheads. I have a bobblehead Kevin and a bobblehead Rob now. And it's all sudden an earthquake.
God damn it.
I don't know. It just seems very puzzling to me that they wouldn't, if it's their thing, then why aren't they?
I'm worried that a couple of things. I'm worried that they're not sure where they want to go with the 50th anniversary.
No, it
because
could be.
It could be one of many things. It could.
They
be
said that. They're planning some kind of fan experience or something like that. But
hopefully not like the crappy one that was at the Mall of America.
Hopefully not.
God, that sucked.
Anybody,
I didn't go.
Don't.
But no, they're talking about some kind of interactive gehibbity bibbity.
Gehibbity bibbity.
Like a part of a theme park, or maybe, yeah. Or do you think they feel in the shadow of Star Wars, since that's still huge and big now? And
and more importantly, gehibbity bibbity, is that a technical term?
Yes.
Yes.
Cool.
Right.
It is a technical term.
Not to spoil your question with my snark, but
no, I was just throwing it out there that it puzzles me that they're like Kevin was saying, it's their baby. Why are they
right.
being so?
And, you know, as a Star Trek fan, I didn't notice.
I guess I totally forgot about it.
Yeah, I didn't notice, and I think that tells me exactly what I need to know how I feel about whatever this movie's going to be.
You will be proud though, Robin. My nerd tattoo arm that I'm going to get. I do have a Live Long and Prosper because I wanted to incorporate Star Trek somehow, and I just didn't want to do the Star Trek symbol.
Right.
So I figured it was like, eh.
I mean, the communicator badge over your heart. That's awesome.
I already have a cross over my heart, so it'd be kind of weird.
Cover up? Yeah.
You say cover up, I feel like you're talking about makeup.
No? Maybe? No.
Maybe it's Maybelline?
maybe it is. Leave me alone. What if I wear Maybelline?
Because we're worth it too.
So speaking of Star Wars, one thing I wanted to mention when we talked about Rogue One
was how much I can't fucking wait for Rogue One.
Yes. And the
I'm there.
What really?
I'm there.
I'm gonna beat you up, Rob.
I can't tell because they've done this before in Star Wars movies, but I can't tell if it's a precursor or what's the other word I'm looking for, but if it's trying to foreshadow something. But the music, because they play, and this is the first time they've done this, but they play the Jedi theme. Overlaid with the Emperor's theme, and it's the piano, and then it's they're overlaid on top of each other, and they've done this before. They did this in Episode One,
where they put Darth Vader's theme into Anakin's theme.
No, they foreshadowed good. The music came out before the movie. It was very good. There was music on there that pretty much told you what was going to happen in the movie.
Where it said like Qui-Gon's, yes, one of the songs called yes, "The Death yes. of Qui-Gon" or something, like that. And we were like, "What the fuck, guys?"
Right, exactly. Like they could have named it anything else other than like Qui-Gon's death, but
like we kind of figured, but still, just leave some mystery.
Exactly. Right. So that's what I'm wondering. The whole Star Wars universe, and George Lucas has talked about this many, many times, is that he does a lot of foreshadowing through either music or subtleties or things of that nature throughout his movies. And it, like we talked about in Episode One, where the very end theme song is the Emperor's theme, just higher pitched or, you know, a couple octaves up and played a lot faster. But it is the Emperor's theme, which is very foreshadowing. But if you don't catch it, you don't catch it. But that's why I'm kind of wondering of course, they show that last scene of her in the dark Imperial clothing.
And there's, not to mention the fact that there's a hooded, clearly Sith-looking figure, but not Vader, because they're wearing a hood.
Right.
In front of a Bacta tank.
Yep, yep. I just noticed that. I watched the trailer again.
And there's this theory going around that in the tank is Snoke.
Ooh.
Because they've basically said that he has, as a character, has been around for a long time. He watched the rise and fall of the Empire. He's been kind of behind the scenes with his little marionette strings the whole time.
So maybe he's been the big Darth Lord pulling the strings?
Well, the theory is that he's the one in the back of the tank, that he was in a battle possibly even before Episode One and he's been fucked up ever since.
And it further suggests that
he's Plagueis.
He might be Plagueis.
But, yeah.
Because he was in the back to tank, which means he was probably in the back to tank since before Episode Three.
So there's a theory that the hooded figure is actually Palpatine.
Oh, I like that. That's good.
But didn't Palpatine kill Darth Plagueis? Didn't he when he talks of the story?
Did he?
Oh, all right. Yeah, that's true.
Killed Darth Plagueis after Darth Plagueis had the ability to revive people
from the dead. Right.
I'm just saying.
I'm sure.
So I have a quick rant, but it's actually not about any content of movies. More of a trend that is happening in trailers that I am not a fan of.
What's that?
The slow piano, one plunkin' note at a time in the beginning of the trailer.
I don't hate it.
I don't either. Well, let me rephrase. It depends on the movie.
Ghostbusters, awful.
It's the new Brom.
Yep.
It's the new Inception. Brom.
Oh, no, that's fair. Okay. And I get that. It's just, I am.
It's like when they used the music from Braveheart for like every trailer for quite a while.
Oh, that's true.
I mean, it was funny because you'd be watching, I think it was Castaway, when they were showing something for Castaway, and it was like, this is Braveheart music. What the fuck?
Okay.
During the preview.
Right. Well, I don't know. I don't like the single note piano plunk out played by 4-year-old tune of the theme of the movie.
I don't like in Rogue One. I love it.
I can't. I'm obsessed with it. I can't stop watching.
But I do. But like a lot of the music that I do like and listen to, if there's a good piano riff,
4-year-olds plinking on a piano,
that'd be weird. No, I'm a big fan of piano music sometimes if it's got a good song. But yeah, it doesn't bother me.
It doesn't bother me, and I can see why it would bother somebody. Yeah. I really honestly can. It just doesn't bother me.
It sounded cool in Jurassic Park. And then everyone did it. Or Jurassic World, sorry.
Like, it's... Like, I knew what you meant. But it's like the new Brom. It's the new Brom.
Brom. Yeah.
That's
just fun. Brom.
I have two things to say. One, going back to the Star Wars verse for a second.
Oh, that and the voiceover guy. Coming this summer.
Dude, they've always had the voiceover guy. I was just going to say, I just watched the trailer for Purple Rain, and it's the old school like movie guy that did like every single fucking movie, and I miss his voice for
Summer 1983.
Okay. But then I was going to go back to the Star Wars verse. Apparently, I read a little article somewhere that said that Maz was in like episode 3 somewhere, or episode 2.
I don't believe she was.
Well. I said that she was.
Are we just going to do the movie guy?
Can we please God?
Can we do this?
I also do movie phone guy. Hello and welcome to movie phone. I could do that the entire broadcast. What do you think?
Please don't. I really hate that one.
You have chosen Star Wars Episode 1, playing at Carmike Cinemas, Windsong 13, 2430 Highway 10 and County Road. Today's remaining show times are your mom.
I was going to say that sometimes Vincent D'Onofrio and the Daredevil kind of reminds me. Kind of reminds me of the movie guy, the movie preview guy, sometimes when he talks.
Yeah, absolutely.
I was just like, oh. Kind of like I went to go see Sarah's husband is a technical guy, technical director at a high school around here. And Sarah and I went to go see a show on Thursday. We were talking about, they're doing Into the Woods, and the guy that played the old man, on occasion, sounded like the brain from Pinky and the Brain.
Love it.
And it was the funnest thing. And then I kept thinking about that new clip that came out of the two guys that do the voices and then they read.
Maurice LaMarche and Rob Paulsen, they did Pulp Fiction.
They did Pulp Fiction. Fucking hilarious.
Yes, Kevin.
You're just on it today with the names.
Good, because I'm never on it with the names.
I'm a little obsessive on voiceover guys, though. Like, that is my jam right there. That is my shiznit, if you will.
It's definitely a career I would like to do, but would have no idea how.
Right.
I do not have the voice for voiceover work. That's not even for a podcast.
I don't in my normal voice, but I do in all the other voices I do.
That's kind of like I would make a really good backup singer, but not a good lead vocalist.
Oh, sure.
I don't have the voice.
So you could do a lot of walla.
Yeah. Or, I could do a lot of like noises or stupid voices, but I don't think my normal talking voice would be good at all.
Although noises, like there's one guy in all of Hollywood who does pretty much every animal noise for everything. His name's Bradley Baker. And if you can find a clip of him online talking about doing animal noises and him then demonstrating an animal voice, it's fucking terrifying. Like, he takes part of it, like, he pushes parts of his face in and he just, like, he pushes his nose up like this and he just... It's this awful.
Rob is currently lifting his nose up.
Yeah, I'm lifting my nose up, but not actually touching the nose. I'm touching the cheekbone beside it and pushing the skin up. And he does that, and then he emits this terrifying velociraptor sound. It is the freakiest thing to watch in the whole world, watching him make animal noises.
I mean, after I fucking watch this later, it sounds awesome.
It's so weird. I love it, but it's so weird. What else we got?
I just had, I was going to talk about something I noticed in the Civil War trailer that I've watched millions of times that we haven't talked about. Much like Kevin's when Superman goes to punch Batman and he blocks it, the fact that Black Panther pulls down Captain America's shield while he's holding it and Captain America has that what the fuck look on his face.
Very similar to Thor's what the fuck when Captain America moves Mjolnir.
Yeah.
Hey, Mew Mew.
Yeah.
Yay, Mew Mew.
And then what else did I have? The Killing Joke. Do we want to talk about that at all?
Yes! Nobody else?
No, I'm...
Yes, I just... You're very excited.
I am!
Yes, I'm waiting with bated breath for this animated movie.
Will you fill the audience in on what The Killing Joke is?
The Killing Joke is probably one of the best Batman stories, like top five best Batman stories.
Absolutely.
And it's a very mature tale, probably one of the first... I would say probably one of the catalysts to Batman becoming as dark as he is, alongside the what the linchpin was, and that was him getting his back broken by Bane. The story of the Joker just, I think, really going from practical joking clown to mass murdering psychopath.
Right.
Yeah.
One really bad day.
So there's two stories in The Killing Joke. One is sort of an origin story for the Joker, although it is suggested at the end of the book that he goes, maybe what I said was true, maybe it wasn't. If I'm going to have a backstory, I'd like it to be multiple choice.
Right.
And so there's that story, and then there's the second story where the Joker essentially kidnaps Commissioner Gordon and does some of the most horrible and heinous shit to his mind and body to sort of make a point to Batman that anyone can be as crazy as me. All they need is just one bad day.
Basically, it's what The Dark Knight Rises kind of heavily stole from for basically the Two-Face's origin.
Absolutely.
Without a doubt. So this one, they have announced it will be rated R, and it is Kevin Conroy and Mark Hamill, the only people I ever want doing the voices of Batman and Joker.
It is important to mention this is the animated film, but yes, it's rated R. It is the voice of Mark Hamill. It is the voice of Kevin Conroy. Also, as Batgirl, Tara Strong.
Yep.
And, oh God, I'm trying to remember.
Isn't Commissioner Gordon the same guy, too?
Ray Wise, the devil in, well, practically everything.
Yeah.
But
is Commissioner Gordon.
Is Commissioner Gordon. And I love his voice, but I never pictured him to do the voice of a good guy.
Yeah.
But then again, they are. I think they needed somebody who could be the good old boy Jim Gordon who kind of loses it.
Yeah.
And that's why I think he was a strong choice.
He can do that insanity kind of, I'm going crazy, but still keep it sorted together. But yeah, it looks amazing. And we talked about this the other week, you and I, Kevin, about I was watching one of the Batman animated things on Netflix. Super violent. Very super violent.
Which one was?
The one where... it was a Flash one.
Flashpoint. Yeah, so Thomas Wayne is the Batman.
Oh my God.
Basically the Punisher. I love it so much.
But my point is that not being rated R, super violent, like the very last scene. They shoot a dude in the fucking head and you see right through his skull with his brain and everything. I'm like, wow, totally super
violent,
not a kid's movie. Yeah.
Well, it's PG-13 and they've definitely beginning. But
if you were an adult.
If that shit is PG-13, you're like, well, what the fuck are they going to do for R?
And if you were an adult, you'd be like, oh yeah, my kid's just watching Batman. Would you be like, you wouldn't even think twice about it Flash.
Think about the stuff you saw as a kid that was probably horribly, horribly inappropriate for a child, but you still turn out normal. I think people calm the fuck down.
G.I. Joe didn't hit shit. I'm just saying.
No, that's true.
But I watched, when I was a little kid, the first...
Knowing is half the battle, the other half is red and blue.
The first anime I ever watched in my life was Akira.
It was mine. Mine too. Holy shit.
And I was a kid.
Right? Yeah.
Like eight.
See, yep. I watched the Japanese dub Dragon Ball so close-ish.
Yeah.
But no, the first one...
Japanese dub Dragon Ball.
But oddly enough...
Super violent.
Oddly enough, got me super hooked on anime.
Yeah, and then the next one I watched was the series Guyver. also very, very violent.
And
to this day, still probably my favorite anime.
My second one was...
Fun fact, they did a live-action version. The first movie, Mark Hamill was in it.
Yes.
Not as the Guyver, but just as like the detective trying to figure out what's going on. And the second one, they changed the actor who played the Guyver, thank God, because the first guy was awful. But he was played by David Hayter, who is most well-known as the voice of Solid Snake in the Metal Gear Solid games.
Oh, okay.
But it was fun watching him in a live-action format, because he's actually a very, very athletic individual.
Yeah. My second thing after Kira was Vampire Hunter D.
Oh, love me some Vampire Hunter D.
Yeah, so, and from there, just...
Give me the old anime any day.
Yeah.
I mean...
And
maybe this is cliche, but I would always like... Oh, shit, it just escaped my head. Super popular anime. Cowboy Bebop.
Yes.
Please, give me Cowboy Bebop.
Trigun.
Trigun, yeah.
Never saw it.
Oh, it's super good.
Yeah, I've heard.
Yeah, it's good. I didn't
see, but I've always liked the adult-oriented anime. I want cursing. I want blood. I want occasional titties. That's
right.
Another one was that I watched. It used to be on.
But this is the stuff I watched as a kid, and it didn't turn me into a psychopathic weirdo. No, as far as I know. But I think. And I remember back in the days when we could have topless women in a PG movie.
Yeah,
that didn't used to be a big deal, and then all of a sudden we became this conservative "boobs are the devil" kind of nation.
And I think
what happened to us guys?
They pointed. I think they sort of nodded to that because it was right around the time that the movie Scary Movie came out. Scream. Sorry, Scream.
The fact that she said we can have a PG-13 relationship. This was an R-rated movie. She flashes her boobs to him, but we don't see it.
Exactly.
Son of a bitch.
And I think they were trying to make that subtle because I think that was right around the time when. All of a sudden, people started caring that there were boobies in movies and stuff, and I think that they did that on purpose. Or kind of like, I hate to admit this, the other day, the movie Cuffs was on, and I watched it again.
The movie what?
Cuffs. It's a Christian Slater movie. It's in the late 80s. It's Mila Jovovich is one of her very first movies.
Mila Jovovich, everyone. Mila Jovovich.
That too.
Yeah.
I told you, I'm horrible with names.
Obviously.
Wait. Mila Jovovich or Mila Kunis?
No.
Kindness?
She probably was like a kid when that. Anyways. Like,
yeah, probably.
Mila was like 15 when she filmed this movie. Although she was playing a college student. Anyways, rated R. It takes place. He's a long short of it. His brother owns this private security company, police security company in San Francisco. He gets shot and killed. Turns the company over to his brother. Everybody is like, no, you can't take it over. You suck. Blah, blah, blah. And he tries to go. It's horrible.
And then
horrible.
They find out that Christian Slater actually sucks.
And he talks to the camera all the time. It's kind of weird.
Okay. So
he's paying homage to Jimmy Fallon, got it.
Right. And the thing about this movie is that it's rated R, but people bitched about all the cursing in it. So there are scenes in the movie, and this is not edited for TV. This was on a movie channel where they can curse. People complained about it so much is that there are parts in the movie where they are swearing and it's covered by like a honk of a horn or some other like... Yeah, it's
so dumb.
It is very dumb.
It's making me angry. Just the idea of this is making me angry. And then you go see Splash, a Tom Hanks movie with...
Disney movie.
A Tom Hanks fucking Disney movie. With Daryl Hannah, where she is naked through like 80% of this movie.
And there's no edited boob. There's nothing over the nipples.
Is her breasts.
You can see her boobs.
PG-13.
PG.
PG.
What?
Yeah.
PG.
PG. I remember watching
PG-13 didn't exist yet.
No.
Sorry, I spiked the fuck out of the
microphone. Yeah, you did. PG.
Don't worry, I have compressors on that.
Constant nudity. Because it wasn't a big deal back then. And
no.
Can we please go back to nudity not being a big
Unfortunately,
deal?
We can't because society blows ass.
Because, yeah.
Ugh.
Because that.
Catering to mediocrity and cuddling and coddling little ones and protecting them and wrapping them in bubble wrap. I get so annoyed with it. So annoyed with it.
I hate this helicopter parenting that's going on right now.
It's unbelievable.
People don't give a shit about the things they should, and they give way too much of a shit about the things they shouldn't.
And they throw big fits about they saw something in a commercial on the Super Bowl or something on the Super Bowl, and it was too violent. And
oh, no. God help us all. We saw Janet Jackson's pierced nipple. We're all going to die.
Yeah, you know what you can do? Change the channel. But I did want to say something about Super Bowl and Prince real quick. And I'll post this video on the
yes.
channel.
Oh, I love
there's
the fact
a like
we're going
a,
back to this.
A behind the scenes thing from when Prince did the Super Bowl, if you guys remember.
Of course.
Pouring rain, right? And
It's Miami torrential rain.
Yes, yeah. and they're talking to like the producers and the guys that put it on. And they go, yeah, we woke up. It was like freaking monsoon season, rain and everything. So we call Prince and we go, hey Prince, just letting you know it's raining. And he goes, are you okay with this? And he goes,
can you make it rain harder?
Exactly. And mind you, he's out there performing live, and this
in heels.
In heels, and he's still. This is when they still performed live, and you can tell he's performing live. He's not faking it with electrical instruments. He's on a stage that is very slick, and it's pouring rain.
Uh-huh.
He's got dancers out there
who are on heels as well,
8-inch stiletto heels,
8-inch stilettos, yeah.
And they fucking rocked it out.
Oh, I know,
unbelievable.
And you can like by the time they get to the end of the show, Purple Rain. You can tell that it is just torrential rain at this point.
But I think the other point in that thing is that they talk about that Prince went out there, and if you listen to the music, he plays two of his songs, and the other two songs aren't even his songs. He's not promoting himself.
Yeah, no.
Not doing anything, just playing music, just to fucking play music.
Yeah. He's there to put on a show. He's not there to promote himself. No. He's not there to, you know, be Prince. He's there to be a musician.
Yes.
Which was awesome.
It was unbelievable, because I think he did.
I wish Prince could have been my cover band for everything.
Under the he did like Under the Watchtower. He did Proud Mary.
He also did Best of You by Foo Fighters.
That's right, he did.
Which is an amazing cover, by the way.
Right. And then it ended with Purple Rain in the rain, which was very fitting. And
of course,
you know, it was just speaks. I think going back to what we originally started with Prince and just the amazingness that it was. And is Prince.
I don't know. Oh man.
Mm.
Yeah. He's gonna be missed in this state for sure.
I think he'll be missed everywhere, and it's kinda weird being at the epicenter.
It is a little bit, but
it's what we got.
All right, Kevin. We'll find something else to talk about.
No, I was not bored by your conversation at all. I was annoyed at people on the internet again.
Kevin, when are you not annoyed by people on the internet?
Because Game of Thrones season premieres tonight.
Oh, yeah.
And there are, of course, a lot of people who don't want to watch it because of all the rape and
violence and
sometimes racist undertones. And, absolutely. And that's a fair reason to not want to watch it. But the people who say, well, it's historically accurate, that bothers me.
Are they smoking crack?
It doesn't take place in our world. There's dragons and magic and shit. You can't use historically accurate when it's not about something that happened, you fucking fucks.
Okay.
Fuck. Sorry. It just annoys me when people use fucking bullshit excuses.
It's historically accurate.
It's a storybook like, with dragons.
That's like, I'm sorry. That's like saying the Renaissance Festival is historically accurate.
Right?
Okay.
We have fucking mermaids.
I love you, Kevin. To play devil's advocate, though.
Oh, my God. Kevin's going to kill you.
I know.
Do we have any sharp really objects is on the table we need to get rid of real quick?
Oh, crap. There's glass. Son of a bitch. There's a pliers. All right. Okay, to play devil's advocate, those that are saying it's historically accurate.
I do get the point they're trying to make.
And I do too.
That it's based on a time of in our
the War of the Roses. Yeah.
Yes, was very much a lot of rape and violence and yada yada yada. But but still, you can't.
At the end of the day, yes, I agree with you. I just wanted to make that point of this is a story. Game of Thrones itself is loosely based on the story of the War of the Roses, the fight for the English throne between the Tudors and the Stuarts. And
do
the
people not Windsors read history?
And all the ridiculous whatever, like
meaning
four different royal families were fighting for the crown.
And very loosely, if you want to watch a close but still fictional version of the War of the Roses, watch The White Queen on Stars. Fantastic.
Huh, yeah. All right.
Do people that bitch about that kind of stuff that
also lots of nudity
that they're bitching about the rape and the violence and do they not read a history book that's what life happened. Was like back then? And in fact, probably even worse.
I think a lot of people's like annoyance on some of the rape stuff is that the show has definitely inserted rape scenes where there weren't any.
Yeah,
and that has felt kind of unnecessary.
Yeah,
anyway, I see.
It's a little exploitative, and I get it. Yeah. I understand, but you know they're gonna do it regardless. If they want to stick in a rape scene, they're gonna stick in a rape scene.
You know,
like I was a couple of vague
nouns from, you know, in a bleak rape reference, actually, just now. If they want to stick it in, they're going to stick it in.
Yeah, I got it.
Yeah, we got
it.
I don't feel good about it, that's all.
Nor should you. my point of the problem was people who use the historically accurate without referencing the source material. They're, right. just saying, they're basically acting like the show happened in real life with dragons and shit, and that people raped people back then.
Whoa. We really didn't have dragons?
Shut up, Nick.
We don't really live in a town thing called Westeros? By the way, did you...
Nick, I hate to break it to you, but there's also no Santa Claus.
Shut your fucking mouth.
Damn. Okay, we can tell them there's no dragons, but don't mention the SC.
Who do you think I'm named after?
Oh, that makes sense.
I'm a jolly, kind of a jolly fat man. Semi-jolly, adjacent jolly.
I was a fat man?
Yes. Real quick, I just wanted to get your thoughts on this because the Game of Thrones thing made me think of those new, the whole new like 360 view things. And they made one of Game of Thrones where, like, you know, you can, the video plays, you can look all around, move
the
thing around.
Oh, in the Iron Throne room?
It's, no, it's the map of Westeros. Like, they show in the, at the beginning of the kind of the, it's like an inverted earth, you know? So you can kind of look around at the map from the vantage point of where the sun is or the Game of Thrones thing is.
Oh, neat.
Yeah, it's all right.
I remember the Jakku one that came out around
I didn't see that
Star Wars.
One.
That one was really cool. Yeah, it was a Jakku one.
My favorite one so far?
Millennium Falcon.
They have an X-Wing one, too. It's just like, it was like, eh. Yeah, but what do you think of these 360 videos?
They're neat.
Yeah?
I mean, it's, yeah.
Futury.
I wish
it's neat and futury. Do we need it? No.
Do we need a lot of things that are neat and futury?
No.
Look
no.
at any movie or TV show that has to do with the future, and all you see is a bunch of useless shit that you can't wait to be real.
Except I just for Blade Runner.
I wish I had.
I actually don't want any of that to be real.
I wish I had something bigger to view it on than my stupid little, you know, cell phone. My little,
right.
I'm like, eh. And if I, unless I had one of those viewer goggle thingies. Or whatever.
Oh, yeah. You could put on the Oculus thing and just walk around and look at it. Yeah.
Yeah. So anyways,
shake my head from side to side.
I think that'll be the future of video games is you put on a binoculars type thing, and like there was some girl that played some violent video game.
It's gonna be the future soon. Yeah. Sorry.
And she got really freaked out. It's kind of funny. Anyways, right. I'm sorry. I'm mumbled for too long.
I think we run out of things to talk about.
What? We never run out of things to talk about. You mean just for this episode?
I mean just for this episode. Right. Unless you got something else.
I got nothing. I think we're talked out for this episode.
I think so too.
Kevin.
Testicles.
Ah. I can talk about balls. That's cool.
Why don't we save that for another podcast?
Next time on Best Threesome Ever.
Balls.
Balls.
There's something to look forward to.
Balls?
Balls.
Balls.
Balls? Balls.
Balls. Two of them. Harry.
All right.
This has been Best Threesome Ever. I'm Nick.
I'm Rob.
And I'm Kevin.
It's brought to you by Mind's Eye Comics.
Sprot?
Balls.
Go ahead and do the sound again. What was that? All right, Kevin, do your impression of his sound again.
Views held here by the nerds of Best Threesome Ever do not necessarily reflect the views of men everywhere.